B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 4 o'clock hour, Mike Mussnelly's show. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us, as usual, by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. All right, well, the Flyers are rolling, and they are a bona fide championship contender. And who would have thunk it at the beginning of the year the Flyers would emerge as probably the lone team that could bring a championship home in 2020. So let's get some more insight on what this team is from the man that you see on Flyer broadcasts, on post-game Flyers Live, and all the pre-game, all kinds of stuff. A former NHL player who hails from this area. He is Colby Cullen. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Hello, Colby.
What's going on, guys? How are we today?
We're doing good. I got a
hey, girl. Sorry, Natalie.
That's all right. Nat's in here as well. All right, so you're watching this team play now, and the biggest question for me was whether they'd be able to sustain the break, and they come back just on fire. So when you look at this team, what do you see right now?
I see a really deep team that is already playing playoff hockey. I think they were the one team in the round robin tournament that kicked it into gear and got themselves into playoff mode before the first round of the playoffs. I mean, they really are doing all of the little things that make you successful this time of year.
All right, so how did this happen? Because, you know, listen, Vigneault's a great coach. We all know that. Carter Hart was, he has that look of brilliance on him, but we didn't know that it was going to come this quickly. And I didn't know this team was going to be as complete as they are from the start of the season. How did they do it?
You know what? A lot of it is about habits. And, you know, in hockey, a really good player has all the right habits on the ice. And you know, something that I witnessed with the Flyers over the last, you know, few seasons was they had talent, but you saw guys with bad habits, guys turning pucks over in dangerous areas, putting way too much pressure on the goaltender. And I don't care if you got Carter Hart or Carey Price, or when you put too much pressure on a goaltender night in and night out for 82 games, you're just not going to be a contender. And the Flyers are extremely detailed the way that they play. You just don't see them putting themselves in danger and shooting themselves in the foot like you've seen. And during the playoffs, when you combine the fact that they do have a lot of talent, they've got a lot of skill, and now they've got a lot of depth, and then you combine that with the fact that they're playing detailed hockey, they're playing fast, physical, it's a winning formula.
This depth thing is really interesting to me because normally, you know, look at the Bruins. They got the monster line, right? But the Flyers' first line really has not been that dominant offensively. They played more of an all-around game, and everybody else seems to pick up the slack. I don't see many teams that are four lines deep like this.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Bruins. They still don't know who are going to be on their four lines. I mean, they're still trying to work through some of that. And then you look at the Flyers, they know who their guys are going to be. And if you want to win a Stanley Cup, it takes more than 12-6. You need two goalies, you need seven or eight defensemen, and you need 13 or 14 forwards. I mean, when I think back to 2011, the Cup team I was a part of, you know, we had almost 15 forwards play that year. We had guys get injured, come in and out of the lineup. It really does take everyone to win these games. And I heard you guys were talking about it before I came on. You were asking about Shane Gostisbehere. I mean, you look at a guy like that who we've seen be one of the more dominant players in the league at times, and now all of a sudden he's fighting to get back into the lineup and looked really good, in my opinion, the other night. Those are good problems to have. When you have guys competing for spots like that on a day-to-day basis, they are really good problems to have.
This is the beauty of Vigneault, too. There's an example of those, too, that he knows how to push a button to get guys back going. What have you seen with this head coach and how he has kind of organized this team?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head right there. He has learned how to manage the personalities. He didn't come in and say, we're going to all switch our hands. If you're a righty, you're going to play lefty. He didn't reinvent a wheel. He taught these guys how to be accountable for one another, how to have good habits. And then he held guys accountable. Now, his method of going straight to the media, it's hard to argue with it because it's worked so well. But I've seen it fall apart in other markets for him when he did that over a long period of time. So I think he's understood who he's dealing with and how he deals with those personalities. And, you know, some of the best coaches I ever had were ones that knew how to manage the people and the personalities. And it wasn't so much about telling guys X's and O's.
It's a good point. I think he feels he's got the right veterans that can understand that part of it. And then he's got these young receptive guys that are trying to learn this game. So I think he's pushed every right button. But from your standpoint, as far as a coach goes, because, you know, hockey coaches, they come and go. They seem to be recycled more than anybody. Which style of coach connects with a room full of hockey players?
You know, I think it really depends on the group. And I think that when you see AV, you see a guy who has personality. You know, he's charming the way he treats the media. He's pretty forthcoming with everybody. And I think that rubs off and the players see that. I think the biggest thing that I think is a success with Vigneault and with any coach is when you know where you stand and you know that you're getting it straight. You might not like it, but you know you're getting it straight and where you stand. And I think as an athlete, you appreciate that. So even if you don't agree with it, you might say, okay, I'm going to do it his way, even though I don't agree with it, because you know what? He's giving it to me straight. We're winning hockey games. And it seems like if everybody's pulling in the same direction, we might have a chance to actually win this year.
The glue to this team, in my view, has been Kevin Hayes. And he was kind of an unknown. Like, why would you pay this guy all this kind of money? Talk to me about Kevin Hayes and what he's done with this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who watches knows what he can do on the ice. And you know, I actually grew up playing hockey with his older brother, Jimmy Hayes, who went to Boston College, played in the NHL for a while. So I got to know Kevin even when he was a little kid. We were all kind of around each other. And it's really his personality in the locker room, the way he sort of galvanizes everyone. He loves hockey, and it's infectious. I mean, he's always smiling. I used to see him after games in New York, and he couldn't wait to get out to dinner, be around his teammates, bring guys together, bring guys closer. And then on the ice, he does his job, and he'll do the hard things. He'll block a shot. He'll score a goal. He's the first one to, you know, talk trash to other players. He'll stick up for his teammates. He's the spoon that stirs the pot. I think that's the best way that I would see Kevin. And I think that his energy and excitement has breathed a little bit of that into some of the veteran players and kind of got them a little bit more juice too.
We're talking to Colby Cohen, and you see him on NBC Sports Philly with Flyers postgame. Colby, let's talk about this seeding here and where you see them as the number one seed. How much does that help them? I mean, we're going through the bracket and we're thinking that maybe Carolina can upset Boston. So you're talking about a second round a matchup of the Flyers and Carolina. The Flyers can't, the way they're playing right now, they couldn't lose that series, right?
You know, I think a lot of the playoffs is about who's healthy and who's going. And right now, the Flyers are playing at a higher level. They went into the round robin with a chip on their shoulder. They look angry. They look pissed off. And that's how they played. And I think when I look at these matchups, I'm not overlooking Montreal. I did a Montreal game the other night for Westwood One. And, you know, they play a tough style of hockey. They've got Carey Price, who's, you know, can win a game on any given night. They've got three defensemen who absolutely shut down Malkin and Crosby and company. So, yeah, this Montreal series is going to be tough. But when I start to look at what you're talking about, the Carolina series, you know, you're going to have to beat the best to be the best. And ultimately, I think you like playing the better teams, the more skilled teams, the fast teams. I love the matchup with Carolina. And when the Flyers are getting saves and they're moving the puck the way they are, you know, they're going to be tough for anybody.
All right, last question. And how would you handle this? The goaltender situation. Does the kid play every game from here on in? And if so, why did they play Elliott on that Thursday game?
Well, I think the reason Elliott got into that game is because Carter Hart has, you know, he's had whether it's back spasms or he had some groin issues or hip issues last year. So, you know, I think you got to keep a guy like Brian Elliott engaged, because I think we saw the way he played the other night. He's a very capable goaltender. And, you know, I've seen teams win the cup where early in the playoffs or somewhere in the middle of the playoffs, you need your other guy to come in. You know, maybe you're up in a series 2-0, and in game three you're not playing well. You got to get the other guy in to just try to breathe a little life into the team. So I think it's important to keep Brian Elliott engaged. But yes, I think Carter Hart will start first game. I think as long as he continues the play that we've seen him play, it's got to be his net. I think that he's proven that he's not too young to handle these types of situations. He's a very focused kid. He's mature for his age. And, you know, you got to give him the ball and you got to let him run. But that doesn't mean we won't see Brian Elliott at some point. And I think Elliott's a capable guy. And you know, Carter Hart, through the first, you know, these exhibition games and the round robin, you look how the Flyers are playing. They're not overly stressing him. Yes, Tampa had a lot of chances and he had to play very well in that game. And he'll be called upon to win a playoff game at some point. But the way the Flyers are playing, you know, goaltenders like playing in front of groups that play the way that they're playing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what would be the reason to even play Elliott in a game in the playoffs? Because if you lose a game, then you're ruining the kid's confidence if you play Elliott. And if you're rolling, to rest the kid would not be good either.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a rest situation. I just think what happens sometimes in a playoff series is, you know, you might get up two games and you might get off to a bad start. And I saw it happen in the Columbus-Toronto series where John Tortorella, you know, took his starter out and he put in Merzlikins. Merzlikins played a game, and then he went back to Corpusalo and they win in game seven. So, you know, these coaches have their reasons. A lot of times when a backup or, you know, I don't think Elliott is a true backup, but you bring in your other goaltender and, you know, players take offense to that. You know, you're basically saying to the team, we left him out to dry. Now we need, so it gives the team a little bit of life, Mike. And I think
okay, I got it. So you're talking about during the course of a game where you might do that, but you wouldn't start Elliott out of the blue. Okay.
Not unless Carter Hart doesn't play well, which I don't have a reason to think he wouldn't.
All right. I got you. Colby, good stuff. And, we can't wait for this thing to happen. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there he is, Colby Cohen. And you see him on Flyers postgame broadcast. So the kid has to be the guy the whole time, the whole way.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so I just did some research on the M's.
All right.
Oh, nice.
So Frank Mihaljevic played 20 years in the NHL.
Wow.
And then he went to the WHA and played 4 more years.
Bang.
So Frank Mihaljevic, 533 goals, 570 assists, 1,103 points.
That's incredible.
Wow. He's got to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, 500 goals.
All right, Peter, the little M, who was actually 6'5", 210.
Wow.
Scored 288 goals, 485 assists, 773 points. Now, that was back in the day of the Canadians. The Cuz was hitting me up with some fantastic names. Rajon Houle.
I don't know Rajon
Houle. H-O-U-L-E. Rajon Houle.
All right.
Yvonne Cornoyer.
All right.
All those high-flying Canadians. Guy Lafleur, Serge Savard. They were all French Canadians.
Yeah, they had
Ken Dryden in net.
Because you had the Montreal dynasty, sort of. Then you had the Islanders and Edmontons. And then they kind of stopped after Edmonton.
Yes. Yeah, the French Canadians were fantastic.
Yeah.
Canadians.
That's pretty
good. The Habs.
You know, maybe that can come back in the NHL.
What, the French-Canadian influence?
That or the dynasty influence. Maybe this Flyers thing is the start of a dynasty. Because you had eras. You look back and you had Edmonton's era. You had the Islanders era. And even the Red Wings or the Devils.
Yes.
But it's been a little more topsy-turvy since then. What if the Flyers right now with this young goalie Giroux will lead him in. He won't last the whole time. But this is the start of like four cups in 8 years.
Yeah.
For the Flyers.
Yeah. From your lips to the hockey gods' ears.
Why not?
I don't know why not. No reason as of
then,
yet.
Then, years from now, people will be talking about Provorov. You know, they'll be talking about the Flyers, guys, like they're talking about the M's.
Got my mind on the M's. Old Canadians. The guy who was the coach of the Devils who put in the left wing lock or the trap.
Jacques Lemaire?
Jacques Lemaire was a great Canadian.
He was on that squad.
Oh, yeah. Jacques Lemaire was on that squad.
I like the Jacques Lemaire.
Bob Gainey.
Bob Gainey.
He wasn't a French Canadian, but he was solid. The M's and who else was, oh man, they were great. I loved them back in the day. This was after the Jean Beliveau regime.
After all that.
Yeah.
Huh. So they had, what's these almost homegrown talent?
Up there in Montreal? They're French Canadians because that's what resonated with their fans. But they like had every Guy Lapointe. Oh man, they were such great names. God, let me think of more. Wah came in after Dryden. Ken Dryden was unbelievable. And people remember Ken Dryden because he was a partner of Al Michaels during the broadcast in 1980. But he was a great goalie.
And he just didn't get the respect. People don't talk about him much anymore.
He was a great goalie. He went to Cornell, I think.
Oh, a bright guy.
He was an Ivy League goalie. And he all of a sudden, boom, he's in the NHL. And he was great.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah. All right. 610-632-0975. Sixer fans have turned cold. I never thought that I would feel this chill from Sixer fans. So you got to tell me, Sixer fans, why you feeling the chill right now? Have you completely lost your enthusiasm for what this team can do? Are you disgusted by the fact that the injury factor has kind of depleted them here, and you don't know from day to day whether the two stars are going to be 100%? What is it that has chilled you out?
Charles Barkley didn't help.
We listen to Charles. Like, listen, I love him, but like his analysis is. Like,
I think Sixers fans do.
They use it as the gospel.
They kind of cling to every word that he says.
He say they had no shot.
Once you go into the Embiid. Well, we know Simmons is hurt. He's got to get surgery. Then you take Embiid, and people are saying, "Oh, Embiid's been playing well." Mm-hmm. Then he has a not great half, and then we hear the Moses Malone story again, and a lot of fans want to say, "See." Because there are fans out there who literally said out loud, he should easily be averaging 40 and 20. As if anyone could average 40 and 20 in today's NBA. We have now, I think that there are a number of fans who have such unrealistic tones when it comes to the Sixers, that any cold water like that, and that's why you shouldn't be watching TNT, you should be watching NBC Sports Philadelphia, but that's a whole nother subject. They get splashed with that cold water and treat it like the gospel because they say, he knows more than me, so he's got to be right. But in actuality, when it comes to the Sixers, he doesn't know more than you because he doesn't watch them.
No, he doesn't hang on every dribble.
That's what I mean.
It's like the old days with the McNabb stuff where people didn't really hang on every snap and they couldn't understand why we, reacted that way.
Yeah, so it always happens to me after a TNT game, if it's Shaq, Barkley or both, there ends up being a cooling process with the team because all they do every single time with it pre-scripted is talk about how the team stinks.
Yeah.
And then there's a period where they go, oh, they can't. I think that by the playoffs in another week from now, because playoffs are right around the corner, I believe people will at least fake like they believe again. They may not, but they'll at least go through the motions.
What is your reaction to the game yesterday? We've had no reaction to that game. And I guess people bailed that. Once Embiid wasn't going to come back, I think people bailed that on the game.
Well, yeah.
And it was, it wasn't that interesting. They fought hard, but it really wasn't that interesting because it didn't mean anything that they fought hard. It's not the team that we're going to see in the playoffs anyway, so who cares whether they fought hard?
But you saw some components.
You saw Josh Richardson wake up.
And you saw Burks continue to play well. Yeah. And you saw Robinson play for the first time.
Yeah.
And you saw Mike Scott play, getting minutes again. And those are guys that I trust more than Neto, Korkmaz, Pell, O'Quinn.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was a separation in that game. And if it just does that, they have a better chance. Because you can't win anything playing Korkmaz and Neto together in the fourth quarter.
Is apathy worse than anger?
Yes.
Much worse. It is. Right. I'm sensing apathy.
That's what I'm feeling too.
A cold turn down. Oh. That's a shame.
Yeah. I mean,
because we still had like a fighting hope.
Well, and that, I think that that's why we had, what, 4 months to build it up in our heads what was going to happen, and then for it to just come out and...
Simmons getting hurt.
I think is what really kind of just took the wind out of everybody.
Right. Now, of course, the other big news is the Big Ten looks like they're shutting down. And the president has called for college football games to resume.
He has.
At the same time.
Yeah.
He says student athletes have been working too hard for their season to be canceled, he tweeted today. And then he just tweeted another one, said, play college football.
All right, well, the virus is dictating a lot of this, unfortunately. I know that people want to pretend that it's the players or these people. If the virus numbers were down low.
Yeah.
Nationwide, and I just find it ironic.
Because if it wasn't a hoax at first.
Right. If
maybe,
many of the people who don't believe in the virus are saying to push through, but they can't, people can't push through because of the virus.
Yeah.
Just acknowledge the virus. Do something. Because there's still a few weeks again. You keep saying this. We've been saying it for months. If we just listened nationwide, it's not enough that we listen in Philly or we listen in Jersey, but they don't listen there. If we collectively as a unit listened, we could have nice things, but if we don't like that pop-up party in Jersey with 300 people, that's how you lose college football.
Well, of course, the school in Georgia, too, with the
photo that
the girl shared and got suspended for it.
Nine people tested positive. Yeah, nine people. And now they had to rescind the suspension.
Yeah.
Because...
It's sad because I think, you know, you keep the numbers low, there could be maybe perhaps some sort of protocol and a balanced approach, but it's like the numbers are so high that it feels impossible to even try and strategize on how to return.
Trump also retweeted the tweet from Trevor Lawrence, Clemson quarterback, saying he wanted to play.
Yeah, but
what's Trevor Lawrence going to say? He doesn't want to play. But he's a star quarterback at Clemson. He just said, I don't feel like playing.
He also mentioned a union in that. I don't think they read it before they retweeted it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he mentioned the players having a union in that.
Oh, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that union.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. We got a couple open lines. A good time to get in. Sixer fans, cold? Why? Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 432. Mike Missinelli Show. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on this one today. The one seed in the Eastern Conference has not made the Stanley Cup Finals in 16 years. Will the Flyers be different? 75% say yes, 25% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. So, today I bought an e-bike.
Oh, you did? Well,
you did. You pulled the trigger.
Unexpectedly.
Okay.
Because there's a bike dealership near where I live, so I go over there. It was like I asked for a gold bullion. I mean, they shooed me out of there. Oh no, we don't have any. And even if I ordered one, it would be on back order. You wouldn't get it until next February.
Okay. I go, well, we only got it.
So I look online. I go, now if I buy this online, what is it going to come assembled?
Right.
When is it going to come in a big box assembled? Like, I need to get it. I need to have a dealership order me one.
Yeah.
Right? So they can put it together and I go pick it up. So I venture over to Manioc. Because there's another Trex Electra dealership over there. Okay. I walk in, and oh my God, there was a halo over this bike. It had one in the store!
Oh, they did?
Oh, look at that.
Did you get that one?
Yes.
Outright!
Yep. So wait, did you take it home?
What else could I do? It was like fate. I went in there thinking, all right, let me see if these people can order me one. Because the other gave me no satisfaction at all. I was expecting it to take a couple months, but I could order one at least.
Yeah.
Boom, there was one in the shop.
That's awesome. And now, that showed you, that company, they could have found you one.
Yeah.
The fact that there was one in Maniac means had they actually wanted to make you happy, they could have got on the phone and found you.
Well, they
it wasn't impossible.
This was I was looking for this rust colored one because I had seen that online.
Yeah.
So I go, do you have the rust color? And then she goes, let me check. And she goes, oh no, that's on back order. You won't be able to get that until March.
Oh wow.
Like, what is it with this bike? So they gave me a free helmet.
Nice.
And you got a free helmet.
They gave me a free helmet.
For safety first.
Yeah. So did you take it home already?
No, I didn't. I wasn't prepared.
Right, right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared. So I have to pick it up tomorrow.
You put the seats down and put it in the car.
Yeah, I gotta get prepared.
Are you gonna Are you gonna drive the e-bike here?
That's one of my things that I want to do.
Okay, I want to see it when you bring it here.
Yes, I would like to drive it to work to see how that works.
Yeah, how
because
would you?
I can go like real fast with it.
Right.
And it wouldn't take me as long as like a regular bike would.
This might be a dumb question, but do you need to lock it up or does it have some sort of like lock?
It has a automatic front wheel lock, but
just bringing it in the building.
I'm bringing it in the building, but I'm going to get another lock because even if the front wheel's locked, somebody can just lift it and steal it.
Yeah.
So I need a lock to lock it to a
pole
or something.
Yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I am excited too.
That's a fun new toy.
To get
toy.
On a bike for such a long period of time.
Comes to Mikey Miss with his helmet.
Yeah.
And his e-bike.
And it's got a comfortable, like a 10-speed. I do have a 10-speed, but it's so hard on the buttocks.
Right.
You know, when you want to go long distances.
And then I got to deal with grown men wearing those shorts with the pads in them. And I get it, but it's just to me, not a look for me.
So this thing has a jack where you stick your, you download this app and you put your cell phone in the case and the app gives you all the numbers.
All you
oh, nice.
How
okay.
fast you're going, how far you're going, the whole bit. Meanwhile, it charges your iPhone and then you can also play music with your iPhone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you don't want to wear headphones when you're on a bike because you can hear all the noise, but you got speakers and you can play it. So
this is fantastic.
How cool is this?
This is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
it's not even mine. I'm excited for you.
I'll let you take a spin, Nat.
Yes.
Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to my very unpopular Sixers point, when I was a kid, there was only six hockey teams, and I loved to listen to the Canadiens in French, even though I didn't understand much French. I just loved their names. Like you
I loved their names,
about.
Too. It was romance with the names.
I forget what names you mentioned, but I started off with the goalie, Boom Boom Jeffrion.
He wasn't a goalie. He wasn't a goalie. He was a high scoring winger. That's why they called him Boom Boom.
Okay,
he was rough. He was a rough and tumble guy.
And then also, of course, you had the Richard brothers, Marquise the Rocket and Andre Richard. The
Pocket Rocket was the best.
The Yvon Cournoyer.
Yes.
Rajon Rule,
Guy Lafleur, and then there was Larry Robinson out of nowhere, Robinson and Bob Gainey were the two American names.
Yeah, but then Jacques Lemaire and Jacques Laperriere.
Jacques Laperriere is a good one.
Yeah, his father filled up their backyard during the night, and by the next night, they had a rink in the backyard.
Yeah, there you go. That's how all those guys learned. There was Guy Carbonneau.
Yeah.
How about this one? J.C. Tremblay.
Okay. I lived in up in the mountains up in Northeast Pennsylvania, and I could actually get the Montreal channel at night.
Yeah, I was fascinated by that whole French-Canadian thing because they loaded up on
the flying Frenchman.
Mario Tremblay.
Yeah, it was almost an insult when they put an English Canadian guy.
Yeah, you know, you hear Larry Robinson. Where is that? Where does that come from?
Yeah, right. Anyway, on the Sixers point, and I know nobody's going to agree with me on this, but I really believe that Brett Brown cannot be let go under these circumstances.
Oh, interesting. Now you brought up another thing that I've been hearing from people, that now, because people are afraid of this, that now that Ben Simmons is injured, that will save Brett's job. I do not believe it will.
Yeah, well, what if Joel can't play either?
I still don't think it's going to save his job.
And if you look at the regular season, they only played less than a third of the games with their regular lineup. I just think it's unfair to the man.
No, it's not unfair. It's not unfair. It's not. They were the sixth seed. He did not achieve enough to a level where he can keep his job, even if these guys are hurt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, suppose they took the three of you out of there and put three schmoes in there. Do you think it would be fair to fire the player?
He's been here a long enough time where I understand the point you're trying to make. And people are actually afraid that it'll save his job, the anti-Brett faction.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will. Embiid will be back playing. I don't think there's any way he won't be playing. Simmons will probably be back by the second round if they win the first round.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
All right, so they're not going to win the first round?
I don't think so.
Okay, so where do you stand then? They don't win the first round. Ben Simmons doesn't play. Does that mean that Brett gets a pass?
In my opinion, no. It means that you got dealt a bad hand. But he would not be the first guy to be dealt a bad hand.
No, that's right. I'm sorry. Maybe it wouldn't be fair, totally fair. But it is what it is. It's now you need some kind of a change. You can't, if they lose in the first round, even if you have a decent enough excuse that Ben Simmons didn't play, you just need some kickstart.
Like, I'll give an example in yesterday's game. Lillard's a great player. He's put up a bunch of 50-point games. But
five this year.
Right. He's playing excellent. But one thing that I thought I couldn't even get to with outsiders is you had Bob Cooney talked about it in the morning show, too. He did. He talked about it this morning. Bob Cooney did on the Farzetta show this morning. What's up with blitzing and taking the ball out of his hand? What I don't like is that he doesn't make certain adjustments.
Yeah.
That T.J. Warren as well. Even though Ben Simmons didn't do what he was asked, where was the double team and you blitz him and get the ball? He doesn't do certain, in my opinion, are fundamental things. Mm-hmm. That would be enough, that leave me enough questions to think someone else could do a better job. And I love Brett. I think Brett's a good guy. He has been dealt a tough hand. But I don't think he's so, he does questionable things, in my opinion.
Yeah, he does. I agree.
I have a question. With this notion that kind of was floating out yesterday nationally, that they're saying that the Sixers are going to have to choose between Ben and Joel.
It's an old argument.
I know, but I mean, it's resurfacing again, but that doesn't even seem feasible.
No, they won't choose.
Right.
Going into next year, they'll still run it back.
I feel like the most rational option is a new coach.
Maybe 2022, they'll have to think that.
Right, but not yet.
No, they'll give him a chance with a new coach to see if they can pull it together. All right, 610-622-0975. Quick break. We'll be back quickly and with your phone calls.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:45. We will be leaving the TV side in just a little bit as NBC Sports Philly moves into the warm-up and then the Phillies pregame live show. We will be on 97.5 The Fanatic until obviously we get out of here at 6 o'clock. So 5 o'clock hour is always an hour we look forward to. 610-622-0975. All right, let's go to Bobito in West Philly. Bobito.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Chilling. I think, the one crazy thing is the national media has been trying to tear these two guys apart for years now. Brett Brown is the real problem. But anyways, I think there are some positives to take away with Richardson playing well. That was a good one I'd like to see. And I think we should probably just sit and be the last three games. Maybe get Horford, Richardson going a little better, you know?
I think they might do that. At this point, I guess it's not worth it to climb up one spot when you might not be able to do that anyway. So maybe they do it, rest Embiid.
And honestly, I still think Embiid is dominant enough to beat the Celtics. I think we still have a chance of beating them. Even without Simmons, so
no, they seem to match up okay. Simmons struggles against Celtics defense.
Yeah,
Brad Stevens knows how to play him.
Yeah, exactly. But Embiid, what's their guy's name? Theis or something? Is their starting center right?
Theis from the German kid.
Is he their starter? Center?
Yeah, he's been starting for him.
Yeah, Embiid can dominate him. I think.
Theis came into the league. He was like he had total pristine skin. Since he's been in the NBA, he got 74 tats. Have you noticed this, Tyron? He was just another white German when he came into the league. And then, boom, all of a sudden he's tatted up.
Got American up.
You know what? The other thing we need to take a look at is Shake has been really silent. I don't know if it's too late to move Burks as into the starting role, but Burks needs to get a lot more of those minutes.
Yeah, I think they got a good role for him to come off the bench and score. He's got a mindset to score, so I don't think that they would start him.
Yeah, well, I'm still hopeful. And if Ben does come back in the second series, I think we're back on track.
Yeah.
So, holding out hope.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to think, to be honest with you.
They haven't said anything about it.
I don't know if they're any good at all without Ben Simmons on the floor. I don't think that those subordinate players are good enough to carry them.
Well, through one series, Celtics, it'd be a tough one.
I kind of agree with Tyrone. I think it would be a struggle to beat the Celtics.
Did they say anything about a timeline for Ben?
No, he had surgery. So surgery is no matter how you move a loose body, and it's a minor surgery, you can come back, but you're still cutting in there, and you're cutting in the muscle, and there's a soreness and a mobility issue. I have no idea. They haven't said a word about it, which tells me that. The least you hear about it, the more you worry.
Well, I'm holding out hope. So,
all right, man.
All right. Thanks,
you got it. Appreciate the call. Let's go John in Upper Darby. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Not to test your sports acumen or your people, but you're mentioning all these old-time Montreal hockey players.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know when it started, but I think it ended in the 80s or something, but the Montreal Canadiens were... Nobody could pick a French-Canadian player until the Montreal Canadiens took the first one or the one that they wanted or the top draft pick. And like, say, Guy Lafleur, nobody could take him until he passed through, until the draft passed through Montreal.
I never heard that. Are you sure about that?
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I don't think that was the case. That would be a bastardization of the league.
I agree, but a lot of people have explained that that's how the Montreal Canadian dynasty came about.
Wow, I've never heard that. I'll have to look that up. I'm not saying you're wrong. It would seem highly unlikely that they would defer great players just because they're French Canadian, so Montreal Canadiens can get them.
Yeah, well, it was just Montreal had the first shot at any French Canadian player.
Wow. Well,
was Cournoyer, Lafleur.
I didn't know that. Is that true? It's a myth. It's a myth.
I don't know if it's a myth.
Yeah, we're checking on it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Was that all you had?
That's all I had.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it does seem coincidental that they had all the French, great French players, but I don't, maybe they just did it with Chris Scalding. I don't know. The Flyers had French Canadian players.
So it looks like it's speculated that that was how they did it, but it, yeah. But it's,
so the league looked the other way, sort of, or the league helped foster.
Well, when they were forming the league, it's kind of an old wives' tale.
Yeah. So the only thing they were allowed to do, they're only, first of all, there was in 1963, so we're going way back.
Yeah.
When they expanded, there was only 21 players selected the first year, period.
Uh-huh.
And what they allowed them to do one time is, rather than draft one player, they could draft two French Canadians that particular year.
Okay.
Of an expansion. But they didn't get all those players in that draft.
Yeah.
They were what they were able to do is, as an expansion team, they were able to grab some homegrown guys.
Okay.
But they weren't, they didn't grab, I'm looking at the names, they didn't grab all the players you were naming in 1963.
No.
They did not. Like, so they did do it, but that was like an expansion draft situation. And every time there's an expansion draft, there's something funny. You can't protect certain players. There's always something.
Yeah.
It's going to happen with Seattle.
Now, what I remember, Guy Lafleur was like this sensational junior hockey player. Like, he was like the next, going to be the next star. I remember that. So I don't know how the Canadians got him. Because that probably would have been the number one pick in the draft. So I, Guy Lafleur. Flowers.
Yes.
His nickname. All right. So listen, we're off TV now, but the 5 o'clock hour is always singeing hot. So climb in. Stay tuned on NBC Sports Philly for the warm up and the Phillies pregame show. But we're back on 97.5 The Fanatic and on Mike Misnelli Show. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.